The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Rocker. Rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Just for the record, we're going from our old platform, our old flagship, to a new flagship. We're looking forward to working with KHNC 1360 out of Colorado, who will be our home flagship, and that means we're going to be on terrestrial radio. And with that, we're going to also be broadcasting live from that platform on a national level. We have approximately 160 affiliates, so we're kind of watching how this transition goes right now. But GCN just kind of faded out. Just for people that are asking right now, they just kind of faded out. Just time for them to move on, and it's time for us to keep moving on and doing what we're doing, folks. Luke 19:10 and 10:19, put them together, they work together. So we're going to have a phone number for you tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting live from Michigan tomorrow. And again, that's saying that everything goes just perfectly. And we believe the Lord that that's exactly what's going to happen. So we're going to be broadcasting live. And hopefully that's just going to kick us into the new season, working with a new flagship. And hopefully everything from that point on is going to be the same that you have always known, except different commercials. I got to tell you, I kind of like that different commercial stuff, okay, because I didn't agree with a lot of it, as you well knew. So with that, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, top left side of the page. Go to SOL Radio Live and subscribe to that page. Also, BeforeIt'sNews.com, BeforeIt'sNews as well. That is our social media platforms available over there. Again, we don't have a number today. We'll pick it up tomorrow. But I did want to let you know, if you go to our schedule on sonsoflibertymedia.com, we just got back from Arkansas. We did four events there. Just got back from Pensacola, Florida last week. And then tomorrow morning, we're heading out to Michigan to do an event with For We the People by We the People. June 1st, that's this Saturday from 1 to 6 p.m., 4471 East Atherton Road, Burton, Michigan. I'm looking forward to this time. There's been a lot of warfare around this time, and we've spent a lot of time in that state. So I'm anticipating to see what the Lord is generating within this boy. That would be yours truly, Bradley Dean. So again, if you want to know where we're going to be up and coming, P.S., now is the time to book us. If you want to book us, that we're already getting invitations from Colorado, ironically, back to Florida, and the list goes on. So that number is 1-866-233-0747, 233-0747. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. We follow the Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1, 1 Timothy 2:5, Acts 4:12, John 14:6. Again, you get the point. Also understanding, friends, that the natural law, which the Lord established through common law, which we have as the seedbed, the Declaration of Independence, and the Supremacy Clause found in Article 6, Section 2 in the U.S. Constitution, all falls to this. President Andrew Jackson was exactly right when he said, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests." This is what we're driving people back to, Jeremiah 6:16, and going back to the old paths, not to the new. It tells us in the book of Proverbs, friends, that we are not to give ourselves over unto change. That's the problem we're having. We're not here, friends, to be influenced by the culture. We're here and we're empowered by the Holy Ghost to influence the culture to His glory. Read Psalm 33, verse 12 when you get a moment as well. Now, folks, speaking of, it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. I don't know why, but every once in a while, I'll just get these people that want to just go ahead and pick a fight. And what they don't realize is they're straining at the net while they swallow the big, big camel. And at the very, very beginning of the show, you hear the Judeo-Christian. Okay, and I've addressed this in the past, I think once or twice. But I want to make it real clear, and I want you to listen carefully. Judeo. Guess what Judeo means, folks? It means Jewish. Guess what Judeo-Christian means? Guess what Christian means? It means Christ-like. Isn't it interesting, folks, that someone would sit there and try to say that it runs antithetical one to another, when in fact that's not true at all? If you look at Romans 3, what does it say? It says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in the circumcision? Make distinction between moral law and ceremonial law. He said, much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, God's moral law. Okay? The moral law. Ceremonial, that's all been done away with Christ. In Christ. And what's interesting is Jesus didn't come to abrogate the moral law. He came to establish it. Was Jesus Jewish? Why, yes, he was. Was he the Christ? Yes, he was. Were the apostles, those that were preaching the word of God, pointing their finger to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:29? Why, yes, they were Jewish people that turned what? Christian. They were Messianic Jews. So how does that run antithetical? And it's interesting because when I'm going back and forth with an individual that was trying to convince me of something that was absolutely untrue, I just took him over to Acts 11:26, where it says, that's where the disciples were first called Christians. Folks, I'm going to take a quick break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the other side. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. Thanks for working with us through these little bumps as we're transitioning into a new flagship in Colorado, which we're excited about. And we just really appreciate your patience. Hopefully tomorrow we're going to be going live and it starts the whole ball rolling again forward with our new flagship. And in the process of that, it will be the same as the old, but different commercials and working with different people. And again, we're looking forward to that time working with KHNC 1360 out of Colorado. So let's get back to this. So yesterday I had an individual, and I'm not going after him. It just really bothers me when people don't think through the things that they hear and then they parrot without thinking them through. Because what they do is they lose credibility with me, and it's not hard to do. Are you perfect? Nope, but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is perfect, and I'll tell you within me as I keep my eyes fixed on Him, the author and the finisher of my faith, Hebrews 12:2, guess what happens? He perfects me by the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. Okay, so yes, I am seeking perfection. Yes, I am looking to awake and be conformed into the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just like it tells us in Romans 12:2. Okay? Yes. And the Bible does say, yes, be holy as I am holy. Yes, that's what we seek out. And why do we seek out holiness? Because of gratitude, which is the mother of holiness. If we're grateful, guess what we seek to do? We seek to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So, going full circle again to the beginning of this segment, highlighting the last segment, the Judeo-Christian, okay, that runs antithetical. No, it does not in any sense of the word. The problem you're having is you're not making distinction between ceremonial law and moral law. And first and foremost, Jesus also rebuked those that were Jewish, but they were of their father, the devil, in John 8:44. Also read Matthew 23. The whole chapter spent on the Lord rebuking them. Yes, they were the seed of Abraham, but guess what? They took on their father, the devil, the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay. Now there was also the lost sheep of Israel who were also Jewish, and they were the ones that sought the Savior and they accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. Okay. Make distinction. And then, well, what comes up in the conversation? But yeah, the Jews follow the Talmud. No, there's a certain sect that follow the Talmud. Remember, there were Sadducees. Remember, there were Pharisees. Make distinction in Scripture. Know what you're talking about before you pick a fight, okay? Or you want to debate something that you don't understand. You know, I'd rather have people just say, Bradley, you know, what do you think of this? Can you explain this to me? Why do you have this as the opening for your commercial rather than, you know, it runs antithetical? I'm embarrassed for them. I really am when they come at me like that. Because you're going to get a just response as to the one that you brought to me with your inquisition, or should I say your accusation. Okay, so going back to the point again, and let's seal this and let's move on. No, it doesn't run antithetical. Matter of fact, if you look at Mark 7, remember there was the commandments of men that the Pharisees established. And remember in the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 15, the Lord told us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herodians, their wicked doctrines. Make distinction. Make distinction. Guess what, folks? If you're a Christian, your Lord is Jewish. Incarnate. He was Jewish. Right? I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of him. No way. He's the one that came and fulfilled that law. And again, when you look at Mark 7, isn't it interesting that he said, you make void the commandments of God. Those are the ones that refuse the Savior. You make void the commandments of God, and what do? They submit to man-made commandments, and again, Jesus takes the time to warn us to beware of them. I'm just saying, folks, you have to stop, know what you're talking about, and make distinction before you make accusation. No, it does not run antithetical. Just wanted to clarify that, wanted to make sure everybody was up on the same page as we are according to Scripture. I said during the end of the last segment, when you look at what? You look at Acts 11:26, isn't it interesting that, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. The verse is part of a passage that describes how Barnabas, who was a Jew, and Saul, who was a Jew, taught the church in Antioch for a year. And then what does it say? How the disciples were first called Christians there. And if you want to talk about a Pharisaical Jew, Paul told you that that's exactly what he was before he was converted in Acts 9. And if you want to see that account, go ahead and read Philippians 3. It gives you all of that which the self-righteous Pharisees ascribed themselves to, tagged themselves with, identified themselves with. We good on that? I wish there was a line to call in on, friends, because I'm sure we'd have a couple people trying to tap into this conversation right now. But again, I just wanted to make clear that everybody understood exactly what the Scripture says. Cool? We're also going to be getting to this in just a moment, the unsung American heroes. They are the example for today's answers. When we look to our forefathers, yes, we talk about the 56 signers. Yes, and we praise God for them and God for establishing the form of government, the Republican form of government in which we have today, Article 4, Section 4. Yes, we're very much appreciative concerning the patriots during that time in the 13 colonies and the less than 3% that were used to establish, again, what it is that we have over 250 years later. But you know what? There's a group of men that are overlooked in so many different ways, and they are the unsung American heroes. Who are they? They were called the Black Robed Regiment. They were the modern-day Gideons of their time. Go ahead and look at the account in Judges 6 when you get a moment. And when you look at that, folks, that's exactly how the Lord used the Black Robe Regiment. Who are they? They were the preachers of the day. And do they look the way that the church looks today? Absolutely not. Not in any sense of the word. Roger Sherman said, "Sad will be the day when the American people, like they have today, forget their traditions." That means attached to old customs and their history. And so long remember that the country that they love, the institutions they cherish, and the freedom that they hope to preserve, they were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny. They were born from what? From the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. This was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Not only was he a signer of the Declaration of Independence, he was also an architect of the Declaration of Independence, along with Roger Sherman, Robert Livingston, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams. And this is the very things that we need to hit on, and we're going to hit on it. I just wanted to show you today as to what is running in contrast to what our forefathers established. I want you to check this. This is a video of a kid in the United States, and this is a New York Post report, by the way. And this is a kid that gave his speech in a high school setting at his graduation ceremonial. And it's interesting, it's being promulgated or broadcasted that he wasn't able to receive his diploma after praising Jesus Christ. Check this out. You can read it because the audio's bad on their end, not mine. It's their audio, not mine. He's thanking the Lord.
I'm here to tell you.
Here it comes back in.
Any of those things in your life, you can't seem to find the answer, that my Lord and Savior is your answer. He will give you the truth. Give you the
And now, folks, just so you can understand, notice it's the younger generation that they're attacking, but the younger generation's not taking it. See, this is the problem.
I want to send my heartfelt
congratulations. This is the problem the bad guys are going to have, friends. The younger generation are having to stand up and fight for themselves. And it's exactly what they're doing. They're taking a bold stand. They're not asking for permission from the devil to obey the Lord. And that's what this young high school student did. But it's being reported that he was denied his diploma for praising and urging students to follow Jesus Christ. If this is true, this is one of the three precedents that we have set across the country. We've had high school teachers and principals and superintendents try to do the same thing to us on three different occasions. And all three cases, we took it right back at them. We had a lawsuit on their desk the very next day. I'm thinking of Spanish River, Florida. And the next day, it was completely recanted. Within a week and a half, we were back in that school doing a full capacity high school assembly. See, this is how you win your day. You have to exercise. You have to fight the good fight of faith so you can obtain the permission from the Lord and the power from the Lord, namely in the power of the Holy Ghost through that trial and tribulation, in showing the Lord that you're worthy to obtain it. And it happens with him before it happens here. But when you're willing to obey the Lord, guess what? He's willing to give you what you're willing to fight for. 1 Timothy 6:12. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Again, we'll be right back. Boy, those are the quickest radio commercials ever, aren't they? Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. You have with yours truly, Bradley Dean. If you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, and or go over to BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of that page, BeforeIt'sNews.com, top left side of that page as well. Again, we're going to be going live tomorrow, so the platform should be set and ready to go, and it should sound like the old radio program with new commercials, working with new people. Again, we're anticipating our time with KHNC 1360 AM out of Colorado, and that is going to be our new flagship. So let's get back to this, folks. I was just highlighting the fact that the Lord is willing to give you what you're willing to fight for. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. You know, I just don't think people understand that, but that's why they're losing, because they're not taking the word and mixing it with faith and then bringing it over to James 2:14 through 26, where it tells us that faith without works is dead. And Paul said, well, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And again, we do the works because we're saved. We don't do the works to get saved. Just want to make clear that you understand the operation of the Holy Ghost once you are saved. Okay. And I'll tell you what, at least in my case, once you are saved, folks, it's people look at you like you're absolutely almost out of your mind because of all that you do. And it's like, and that's not giving Bradley Dean accolade in any sense of the word. Not at all. I only get one opportunity to prove the God of Israel, and I am to seek that in this lifetime because life is but a vapor, and I want to make the most out of that time. Matter of fact, most people will just settle for, well, Lord, what do I have to do? That's not a man that's born out of the Spirit of God. Not at all, John 3:3. That's a slave that doesn't care for his master's field in any sense of the word. And there's a difference between, friends, understanding a father to a son union in Christ and serving God out of fear, because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. That's not what we do here. We do what we do out of love because we see the sacrifice that the Lord gave through Jesus Christ as the propitiation for my sins. And yes, we make it personal. But in saying that, for all the things that we're continuously doing, we're looking for more to do. And we're also asking, Lord, you know, where others fail and they don't want the call, Lord, can we have the call as well? But we need you to renew our strength in the process. Because we definitely need that strength in the process. And I think of Colossians 1:29, where Paul said this. He said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, to keep up with him, which works in me mightily. That's exactly right. A man that has a true call of God, a woman that has a true call of God in their lives, I can tell you right now, you never feel like you're doing enough. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true in so many different ways. So what I want to do is I want to get over here while we have the time to do it, and I want to get to the Black Robe Regiment, the unsung heroes. Listen to this carefully. This is an author and a journalist from 1989. These were the Gideons of the day that were used by the Lord, those that trusted the Lord, those that called upon the name of the Lord, because like myself, the Lord, I hear, ask the question, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things in which you know not. I want that to be a part of my life. Here, I like to say it this way. There's so many people that talk about, whoa, you know, look at the God of Moses. Look at the God of David. Look at the God of Samson. Look at the God of Jephthah. Look at the God of Gideon. Look at the God of Deborah. Look at the God of Ruth. Look at the God of Esther. Look at the God, you know what I'm saying? Well, listen, if that's the God that you want to see, then do what they did. And trust in the Lord in doing all that you can do and leaving the results up to him in the process. Do what they did. And then you'll see the God of the patriarchs, which, by the way, where you see all the goodness in the patriarchs, it's all the Christ anyways. Do what they did. I mean, the Bible tells us in 13:7 of Hebrews that we're to follow their example. Well, folks, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to follow the example of what we have, the Black Robe Regiment. James L. Adams, author and journalist back in 1989, said this. He said, the Christian ministers of war had done their job well, infusing their congregants with the feeling they were first and foremost, listen carefully, Christian soldiers. There is the missing element in the American church today. Well, they say, well, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Yes, but the Lord can, but doesn't so desire to work independently of men. That's why he created us, right? We work with him so we can have a kairos moment and a chronos moment. That's where man meets God in trusting him so that the Lord might be glorified. Isn't that what King David talked about, showing the world the glory of the Lord and showing the world what the Lord has done? Yeah, isn't that how he's glorified? Absolutely, Matthew 5:17. Read it when you get a moment. 16. My goodness, folks. You know, it's interesting. When I look at some of these quotes, it's just like, whoa. When you look at the Black Robe Regiment, these preachers of the day at the founding era of this country, they led the way. Hey, folks, good leaders are those that follow the leader, Christ. He's the breaker that's on the head of us, Micah 12:2. Now, when we look to the example of the Black Robe Regiment and what was recorded on their behalf, read Malachi 3:16, those who have gone before us in the faith, Hebrews 11, right? That faith chapter, read it when you get a moment, and see how they trusted in the living God, Proverbs 3:5, And how, this is what's the important part. Here's your resolution. And how the Lord answered on their behalf. I love it. B.F. Morrison, he was a historian, said in 1864, listen carefully, no class of men contributed more to carry forward the revolution and to achieve our independence did the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were the ones that were on the front. They were the ones that were battle ready, friends. They were the ones that were armed. When you look at the famous picture of Lexington, notice, friends, that these were clergy that were armed standing up against the British. No, we're not supposed to do that. No, we don't seek that, but we don't make ourselves sheep neither. And I'm putting this in proper perspective concerning what Ben Franklin said, because he said, if you make yourself sheep, these wolves will devour. And if you read John 10, you can see that the Lord, you know what? Let's just go over there since the Holy Ghost is bringing us there. I want to go there because you're going to see very clearly that those that are willing to stand up and make you sheep in the face of the wolves that seek to devour you, they could care less. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, he's hired to do his job, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. This is Jesus. In verse 13, what did he say? Chapter 10 of John. What did he say? The hireling fleeth. That's exactly what they're doing. Also put that up against Psalm 78, verse 9. Psalm 78, verse 9. Read it in context. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. Don't sit there and tell me. This reminds me when I was just in Pensacola. I remember doing that high school assembly 10 years ago. And I remember in the process of doing that, we've seen all these churches around the high school. And all those churches twice a week had all those students in their churches for the most part. And those hirelings did nothing but talk about their love for those young people. Twice a week. Oh, we love you, man. We love you. We love you. We love you. You know, really what they were saying is we love you enough, only as far as lip service goes, because we don't love you enough to actually stand up and fight for you. Because if that was the case, we would make sure that they weren't teaching evolution in a public school system, that they weren't teaching an illegal, abominable lifestyle called the sodomy agenda in public schools. No, they were just allowing the kids to go into school for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But yet here's the pastors who have no business leading the church telling them how much they love them. And the young people are hands up in the air trying to figure out where is the love. Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. That's exactly what the kids are saying to these hirelings in the pulpits today. They don't care about them. If they cared about them, guess what, friends? They would fight for them. They would fight for them. My friend, Alex Newman, when we were in Pensacola last week, he said, they can go ahead and try to come for my kids, but they ain't going to get my kids. He said, that just ain't going to happen. And he went on and he went on and he went on. And it's like, okay, there's a guy, a younger man, that totally understands what the Word of God means. You don't give yourself over to the devil and sit back and say to the Lord, Lord, when are you going to deal with the devil? The Lord says, I already dealt with the devil. I already gave you power over all the works of the enemy in Luke 10, 19. And what are you doing with which I bestowed upon you? You're waiting for me to do what I commanded you to do? Shame on you. And then you wonder why you don't get any resolution. Because you have not ears to hear. The Lord's word has no place in you. That's why you can't hear it, and that's why you cannot see it. Common sense comes into play. Here, let me say this again. Let me go back to the top of this. Talking about the Black Robe Regiment. James L. Adams, author and journalist, said of our forefathers, namely the preachers of the day, that the Christian ministers of war had done their job well, infusing their congregants with the feelings that they were first and foremost Christian soldiers. The soldierly element is completely out of sight and out of mind when it comes to the men that applied for the job, the hirelings that are in the pulpits. These effeminate capitulators are good for nothing. Our forefathers stood up against everything that they are today. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. I got to tell you what, I get fired up on this because this is something that we have partaken with for a long time. A long time. We have been a part of following the example of our forefathers that have gone before us. We've done it the way, and we've held according to the word of God, not to the word of man. Every step of the way, and we've seen the results of doing so every step of the way. We've seen, as a matter of fact, what men fear, we have seen that fall upon the heads of those that meant to cause us harm. See, when you fear the Lord, he takes care of your enemies because it's a righteous thing with the Lord to recompense tribulation unto those that trouble the righteous. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Man, everything that you're afraid of when it comes to your enemies, the Lord deals with them. And you get to see your desires upon their heads. And it comes back to your ears and your eyes. And then I can hear the Lord say, I told them not to touch mine anointed. See, the people in America don't understand that we have an armor that's for the front of the body, starting in Ephesians 6:12. They have no idea what that's for. They have no idea what it means when Scripture says us that we are to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. No, that's foreign to them, completely foreign to them. And they're getting the results that's foreign to the Scriptures. They're the fruitless vine that are nigh unto cursing. They're the tombs that men walk over because they're full of dead men's bones, and those men that are walking over the top of them don't even know it. And then I think of Matthew 5:13, where it says that we're called to be the salt of the earth. And if we're not going to be that, then we're good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men. Folks, the American church, the apostates, it's a lack of Christianity. All those that are popular out there right now, and I'll tell you another, man, I could go off on this guy for a minute. This Greg Locke guy is getting goofier and goofier and goofier as the days go along. But those that you know of out there, I'm telling you what, folks, they're not being banned. They're not being censored because they're not saying anything that's substantive. They're not saying anything that's going to set you free. They're not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. They're being persecuted for the things that they have done wrong within the body of Christ, speaking of which. But the popular ones out there, folks, nope, they fit the narrative. And what is the narrative? Pull the teeth out of the gospel. Let's put up effeminate men rather than men of God or the sons of thunder or the Elijahs or the John the Baptist. No, let's get those out of sight. Let's demonize those guys. We don't want the Peters out there. We don't want them to actually see that Christ is who he says he is. So we're going to go and testify against ourselves in favor of scriptures, and we're going to prosecute them, not knowing that you're actually flaming the gospel fire. Hey, you know, I've said it before, and I want to say it again, and I know I'm talking to some of you people right now. This is prophetic. Hey, until you endure the fire, you can't bring the flame. Folks, stay the course, because that's exactly the example that we have set before us right now. Let me hit off some of these historians. B.F. Morris, historian from 1864, said, no class of men, speaking of the Black Robe Regiment, contributed more to carry forward the revolution and to achieve our independence did the ministers. Frank Moore, historian, 1862. The preachers of the revolution did not hesitate to attack the great political and social evils of their day. No, that's the church's purpose. Because government and the church, friends, are the two sciences that run together. Here, let me explain. What is science? Webster's 1828. What is it defined out to be? The study of creation. What is government? Who established government? So the study of creation means science. And then when you look at politics, it's the science of politics. So you can't separate the two because they define as the same one. Especially when you see the one, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that established the government we have today. Exodus 18:20, Exodus 18:25. Okay? Oh, and pay attention. The Lord didn't establish a king like in 1 Samuel 8, which he forbade. No. He put himself in America as the king through his son Jesus Christ, and the government is upon his shoulders. And the Lord is the governor of all nations. And that's why we have in our preambles in the United States of America where it starts out acknowledging him first and foremost. Why? Because he's our king. And that's exactly what he's always intended it for it to be. But what's happening in America today? Well, we see the ignorant, the blind, the deaf that claim to be one thing. They're the ones that the blind leading the blind. They all end up in the ditch. What are they doing? Oh, they're just repeating history again, setting America up for another dictatorship, only to give their allegiance over to a man in the place of the king. And guess what that hastens, friends? Judgment upon a disobedient people. And what we're seeing in America, make clear what I'm saying here, we are seeing a good portion of the American people that claim to be Christian conservative patriots that are doing nothing but cheerleading their own oppressors. And they mean to bring you with them. That's why I'm telling you to get on your black robe regiment. Following their example. Frank Moore also said, to the pulpit we owe the moral force which was our independence. Where did it come from? The pulpits. They prepared for the struggle and went to the battle, not as a soldier of fortune, but with the word of God in their hearts and trusting in him. John Wingate Thornton said, another historian from 1860, he said, England sent her armies to compel submission, and the colonists, your forefathers, who I could feel this one, boy, appealed to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, folks, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. I'm partaking with that life in Christ right now. Because you can go ahead and read this stuff all day long without the Holy Ghost. You're not going to understand that life. The righteous rebellion began in the churches before spilling out into the streets of Boston and the rural regions of the colonies. You know who's a good example of this in modern times? Martin Luther King Jr. And it's interesting, the older people didn't want to go to the streets, so he made his appeal to the younger people, just like our forefathers did. James L. Adams again comes to my aid, 1989, author and journalist. He said, the colonial clergy created the religious climate that made it possible for the American Revolution to take place. Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, this is the message that's going to bring all of the clergy to shame. Alexis de Tocqueville, a French historian reporting to the French Senate, this is a guy that came over into America during the establishing period in the 1800s. Alexis de Tocqueville, he came back to France after he left America. He went back to France and then he reported to the French Senate. This is what he told them. This is who you are, America. I went at your biddings and passed along the thoroughfares of trade. I ascended their mountains and went down to their valleys. I visited their manufactures, their commercial markets, and emporiums of trade. I entered into their judicial courts and their legislative halls, but I sought everywhere in vain for the secret of America's success until I entered into the church. It was there, as I listened to the soul-equalizing and soul-elevating principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they fell from Sabbath to Sabbath upon the masses of the people, that I learned why America was great and why America was free and why, when I come back home to France, why we are slaves. If you remember right, Thomas Jefferson was asked to make distinction between American government and European government during the establishing period of this country. Do you remember what he said? Come on. Sons of Liberty listeners, what did he say? The difference is between heaven and hell. Folks, this is in my heart. Hey, folks, it is our job, out of love to the Lord, to kick the hell out of hell Why? Because Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, said to me and you that it is finished. I'm not talking about the works of the flesh. I'm talking about the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, as we work with the leadings of the Holy Ghost, Romans 8:14, to establish. Bishop Charles Galloway, 1898. Listen again. This is the example that we're to follow. Mighty men were they, of iron nerve and strong hand, an unblanched cheek and heart of flame. God needed not reeds shaken by the wind, weak men, not men clothed in soft raiment like you see today, but heroes of hardship and lofty courage. And such were the sons of the mighty who responded to the divine call. Folks, love you by what I do. We're going to be in Michigan tomorrow in Burton, Michigan. I'm going to be broadcasting live, and I will talk to you then. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Love you by what we do.